الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طوبى لمن وجد في صحيفته استغفارا كثيرا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين
The hukam of the seniors that I'm sitting here, Mawlana Naeem Sabs, Hamun Barakatuhum's place. It's also from the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have a good countenance. Many a time the different ulama come and sit. Generally my way of speaking is very informal. So we come and sit and generally it's nice to have a good countenance in front of us, a person smiling, not worrying whether the person is putting him into Jahannam, the alim is putting him into Jannah. A good countenance is also from the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every week, once a week, there are different honorable ulama who come and sit and give sterling advices with regards to different aspects of our daily life. And many a time we hear these advices and we thereafter go out of the masjid. And thereafter then it, alhamdulillah, we discuss it and we try and make amal upon these advices which are given by the different ulama. However, we should ask ourselves that last week there was someone sitting here who gave some sterling advices. How much of those points which he mentioned to us did we bring within our life in the last week? That is the purpose of the Jumu'ah Bayan. Whether it is a fancy talk or whether it is a simple talk, the purpose is to make amal. And that is what the intention, each and every one of us should make this intention in the recesses of our heart while we are sitting here. That whatever is going to be mentioned, myself included, we will try our utmost, inshallah, if it is not within our lives already, to bring it within our lives. So generally, when I begin a talk, I just give something what our ustad used to say to make my wholesale business grow. A simple sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we can bring within our lives, and we should try and practice upon it. And if you practice upon it, I will get the wholesale business, you will be my client for life, inshallah, and I will attain the rewards in my qabr as well. So the one sunnah, inshallah, we will talk about today before getting to the topic is that of before entering the home, or when entering the home, to make salam in an audible voice. And this salam should be a proper salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If there are those within the home who are asleep, to lower the voice a little bit. And to make this salam, this is a means of bringing peace and comfort within the home. We are all being faced with different challenges. One of the biggest challenges we face within our society is that our homes have become, as the man enters the home, he has a lot of fires to extinguish. Sometimes the mother and the daughter, sometimes the wife and the husband, the son and the father. But by making the salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, inshaAllah, many of these problems will be taken away. And shaitan runs away from such a home. And we should try and inculcate this within our young children as well. If they enter the home without the salam, then very with softness and with kindness, go with the child outside the home, relock the door, and open the door again, and make the salam loudly with the child. And this will be embedded in the heart of the child for the remainder of his life. And also I will get the reward continuously. So my business will also increase, inshallah. The topic for today, inshallah, we are all in need of hidayah, every single one of us. That is why in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And close to 50 times daily minimum, we are reciting this in our salah. We are all Muslimin, alhamdulillah, inshallah. And we are reciting this, but why do we recite this? Obviously, each and every one of us can turn a new page. There is always something different we can do. We can take out something from our life which will get us closer to Allah. And we can always put something else within our life which will take us closer to Allah. That is why we are reciting, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us that we should follow the Quran and the Hadith. This is our way for success. In the very next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us where to recognize this. How to recognize this. How to know what is the Quran and the Hadith. How to come onto the straight path. That sirata alladhina an'amta alayhim. That to follow the path of those who have been favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we are a successful ummah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. If you claim to love Allah, you claim to love the Qur'an, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me. He was an embodiment of the Qur'an Majeed. You follow Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُلُقُهُ al-Qur'an. You would get the definition of the Qur'an Majeed. Thereafter, after Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the different fuqaha came, and not each person, every one of us sitting here, we are not able to take out the different masail and laws from the Qur'an, like how these ulama, so we have to follow them. Like an incident comes to mind of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, when he was asked a certain question, then he did not know the answer, so 3 days later he comes to the individual and says, you know, I found your answer now. So the individual says, 3 days it took you, not like the muftis of nowadays, they leave you on the blue tick for many weeks on end. So after he mentioned, I recited the entire Quran Majeed and I did not find the answer. I made tadabbur, tafakkur, I thought, I pondered, I made dua. Thereafter the second day I recited the entire Quran Majeed. And thereafter, again, I did not find the answer. Thereafter, the third time, I found the answer hidden in one ayah of the Qur'an Majeed. This was their level. 99.9% of the ummah cannot take out the masail. That is why we are in need of a mentor and a guide. So that we can get that sirat al-mustaqim. And those mentors and the guides are from amongst the salafus salihin, the fuqaha, our pious predecessors. So inshallah today we will discuss a certain personality by the name of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi. And within his life, the different lessons we can take out. There are so many lessons, half an hour will definitely not do justice to it. But we will just discuss few important stories from within his life and lessons we can take from there, which we can, practical lessons we can bring within our own lives. Just for us to understand who he was, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullahi alayhi, his ustad, and also he is regarded to be his student as well, mentions that I do not find any difference between Abdullah ibn Mubarak and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, except that they had the companionship of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously no one can reach the level of the Sahaba. So I do not find any difference. Once there was the slave girl of Harun Rashid, and she was in the palace, and she heard some commotion on the outside. So she comes to the wall of the palace, looks over the wall, and she sees a lot of dust and people rushing to a certain area. And she finds out, what's the reason for this? So it comes to light that Abdullah ibn Mubarak was passing through this town of Raqqa, where Harun Rashid's palace was, unannounced, and people came to know of him coming. So there was a whole cloud of dust of people just to get a glance at him. Just under this point, the holidays are coming up. And there will be many different programs which will be taking place. Youth programs, different ulama with the different majalis. Let us take our youth and our children to go and see just the faces of these ulama. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentions that there are four places in which the gaze is not wasted. The first is the gazing of the Kaaba, looking at the Kaaba. The second is looking at the Qur'an Majid. The third is looking at one's parents. And the fourth, which he brought under the same point, is looking into the books of ilm and looking at the faces of the pious. A person's gaze is not wasted at this time. So let us take our youth, even if it be that the program be in a different language, the Urdu language, different ulama coming so much, every few weeks there's a different alim coming to this KwaZulu Natal. Let us make the effort, take the children, build a love of the ulama within them. And even if they just look at the face, make salam with that alim, this will be the means, we never know, of hidayah for this child, hidayah for us. The child can become the next Junaid Baghdadi, we do not know. So, this is the first lesson from the life of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, that people used to just come just to see him, without asking him questions or anything of that sort. And we should bring this within our life. The second is, we all know that many of those who are of a very high caliber, they had a past, like how they say in English, every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi did have a dark side to him. He came from a wealthy family. Later on in his life, his parents gained wealth. And when he was in his 20s, around that age, then he got involved in many different sins, sins which are prevalent in our time, that of music, the playing of the guitar, these different sins he was involved in. And one narration mentions with regards to his hidayah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans for someone, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his entire 180 degrees he was changed. One morning he got up in a state in which he was intoxicated. And he had that guitar by him. And he starts with the guitar. You should remember that Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi was regarded as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Many ulama regarded him as very high with regards to hadith. He started with that guitar and he says, this is not my tune. This is not what I usually do. So he starts again. And thereafter it is mentioned that the ayah was listened or the ayah was recited from somewhere. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. It has the time not come for those who believe that their heart shivers with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time he gave the answer of bala and he made tawbah. This is the second very important point we come to. That many a time we are involved in a sin. Each and every one of us know of the skeletons in our closet. That which we supposed to not be doing. And it comes to a stage where many a time we forget about receiving treatment for these sins. If a person is sick, and a person is seeing that he's slipping, his health is slipping, he's getting weak, he cannot eat properly, he's running to the bathroom every few minutes. And then he says, you know what, but I don't want to go to the doctor. It will just be, you know, a whole lot of blood tests and x-rays and all these different things. I will just love my life how it is. What a terrible life he will live. In the same manner, if we do not regard our sins that we need to cleanse our heart of these different gunas, then we will be like that sick person who is not receiving the quality of life he's supposed to be. If he goes to the doctor and he does all these different treatments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him shifa, inshallah. In the same way, we should ensure that we are continuously making istighfar. طُوبَى لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا. Glad tidings to that individual who within his book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah, when he is given it, given to him, that he finds a lot of istighfar. Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that one of the easy ways for a person to ensure that he will leave the sin. For example, a person is addicted to something, whether it be drugs, smoking, pornography, whatever it may be for that reason, is that he continuously makes istighfar, minimum of 100 times daily. Insha'Allah, with the barakah of this istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously other treatments are required, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, towards the, when the time is right, he will leave this guna. So that is now 2 points. Just for those who have come later, I generally repeat myself a lot. We mentioned the importance of making salam when we come into the home is a sunnah. And we mentioned the 2 very important points which we've already discussed. One is that of tawbah and istighfar. The other is that of attaching ourselves to the ulama, merely sitting with them, looking at their faces, making salam with them. That is a great means of great barakah. We now come to the 3rd point of the life of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. We all know the English saying that it starts from within the home. The father of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, a famous story, many of us might have heard it many a time. His name was Mubarak, and he used to do work in a certain orchard, a field, pomegranates, pomegranate trees. So, on a certain occasion, his master asked him that, you know, bring me a rummanan halwan, bring me a sweet pomegranate. So he goes, takes a pomegranate from the tree, brings it back. The master cuts it. فَوَجَدَهُ حَامِضًا. It is very sour and bitter. Tells him to go again, 2nd time. What do you not understand? I'm asking for something sweet from the garden. Twice, thrice, same thing. Thereafter he asks him, have you not tasted the pomegranates? He says, I have never eaten from this garden. So the master asked him, for how many years? 20 odd years he worked. This is the quality of amana, trustworthiness. And this owed to the hidayah of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, his son later on. That if we teach ourselves first of all, every single aspect of our life, there must be trustworthiness and amana. We are using a company car. We are using the company phone. We are using these different aspects for our own personal benefit. For example, you are using the company phone without the permission of using it for your own personal use to make a booking for your umrah. Within the ibadah, there is a certain sense of sin, that a person is using something which does not belong to him for his own benefit. So this issue of amana, something we should all bring within our lives. And an easy way, again, we go back to the 1st point. An easy way to bring amana is to sit with those who have amana with them. And by sitting with them automatically, heart to heart, they trust worthiness. And to always have a person who can correct your mistakes. My father-in-law is sitting somewhere in this crowd. Won't mention where. But yesterday, he corrected me on a simple issue. It's good to have people who correct you on certain issues. I was driving my car, stopped somewhere to pick up some food. So, it resulted in me, my right hand being on the steering, and there was a beggar, so I took out some money to give with my left hand. In the car, mentioning immediately to stop, give it with the right hand. Here again, the aspect of having someone to correct you. If you are prepared to do this, then amana will come within our lives. So that is 3 points we've discussed. The issue of tawbah, spending time with the pious, and amana. We come to the 4th story of the life, in the life of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi. And this is very relevant to the time we are living in, or the month we are living in. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he used to go for Hajj, then many used to go with him at that time. But there is one ajib and one amazing story with regards to how he went for Hajj. On a certain occasion, Once Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi made an announcement, I will be leaving for Hajj at a certain time. Anyone who wants to join me should bring their money that they prepared for that Hajj. Leave it by me and it will be used. He did not say this, but understood that it will be used for the expenses of the Hajj. So for example, Muhammad came and he wrote the name Muhammad and put it away. Ismail came and he wrote the name Ismail on the list and he put it away. And he mentioned on a certain day at the masjid, we will leave for Hajj. And they are going for Hajj. And at every stop, the food is provided, the drink is provided, they reach outside Madinah Munawwara. He mentions, go and buy the best clothing in the marketplace so that in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have the best clothing, whatever is required, I will pay for it. And people were thinking this was with regards to the money which we gave Abdullah ibn Mubarak, like the agents of today. And he is spending it on all the food and drink and accommodation, etc. Like how when we go then, for example. And then thereafter, when he went to Madinah Munawwara, the narration mentioned, he mentioned, whatever you want from the bazaar, from the marketplace, buy it. For example, when we go, then the wife wants a badoon ism cloak, and the son wants a certain kurta and a clothing, whatever it may be. And he paid for everything. Same story in Makkah Mukarramah. And when they reach home, wonderfully reach home, after a little while, he makes the announcement in the masjid again, that all those who had come with me for Hajj, we are having a da'wah in the masjid. Food will be served. So all of them come, a reunion of the Hujjaj. And at that reunion, he takes out that box. And he says, Muhammad, this was the money you gave me, here's your money back to you. Ismail, here's your money you gave me, and here's the money back to you. So people are flabbergasted. And they are wondering why. So he mentions, I wanted the reward of your Hajj. This is the next point we come to. One is spending in the path of Allah, that we all know about. Trying to attain good deeds in whatever way possible. This is the point I am getting to. Trying to attain good deeds in whatever way possible. That he went out of his way to try and attain the reward of the Hujjaj. They got their full reward. But he went out of his way to get the reward of the Hujjaj. Another same story in the life of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, where he mentions a person came to him and asked him, no Abdullah, he was a wealthy alim, the ulama can also be very wealthy, and comes to him and mentions, you know, there are 700 gold coins that I owe to someone. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi says, go to my treasurer and he will pay it off for you. He gives him a note and he writes, instead of writing 700, he writes 7,000. The treasurer is shocked, comes back to Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Abdullah ibn Mubarak reprimands him. Then you see what I wrote? Why are you trying to give him 700 instead of 7,000? Give him the 7. Rather give him 14. Gives him 14,000 gold coins. Many a time in this month where we are, people are working for us, and they are asking for the bonus, and they are asking for a little extra, then we try and squeeze it for the next year. Instead of 7%, we'll give them a 6% increase. Instead of 9%, let's give him an 8%. But we want to upgrade our life. Let us think about it in another manner. Let us give that person that little bit extra as well. Recently in the masjid where I am in Glenwood, a Muslim Indian home, which we are all, we know of, a youngster studying engineering, comes to me after the salah and says, this happened in Ramadan, the last Ramadan, and he mentions to me, Mufti Sahab, I want to become a murtad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So I was taken aback. This was the first time I dealt with it in person with someone. So we sat with him in the back of the masjid, myself and a few others. We ask him the reason. And look at this, our Muslim community. He mentions, my father did not have a job after COVID. Severe financial conditions within the home. But every time I go for assistance to a Muslim brother, I get turned away. Every time I go for assistance to a Muslim brother, I get turned away. But when I go to my friends who are non-Muslim from within the university, then they are all but prepared to help me. Something for us to consider. As Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, my beloved Ustad and Sheikh, used to say that if we cannot assist a person, then at least point him in the direction of assistance. If you cannot assist him, at least point him in the direction of assistance. You might know someone who might be able to assist him. So this is a very important point. So we come to now 4 points which we've covered. That of Tawbah. Number two of looking or spending time with the pious. Number three of Amana. Number four, trying to get every aspect of every point that we can find to earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. I had wanted to continue the talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and give us the ability to make amal upon us. Let it not be that we go out of there and we forget about the entire talk. Let us try and make amal upon what was mentioned in the talk. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.